this morning. Do you stand in awe of him?
Amen.
Amen. It's easy to do. He just overwhelms us sometimes. Amen. So welcome to the house of the Lord. Just let the musician play and go to their seats. Good to be with us today. Appreciate the little upswing in temperatures.
Amen.
We were frigid there for a while. Just had one little announcement. I wanted to remind everyone that Brother Ben Mulrod will be with us this next coming weekend, Saturday night at 6, and then Sunday morning regular time. I had mentioned getting together Sunday afternoon for some singing and worship, but Brother Ben has told me that he's not going to be able to do that because he's got an appointment he has to get back home for. So he has to leave out pretty quickly. So we will just, I guess we'll figure out what we're going to do Sunday afternoon. We'll probably just fellowship like we normally do on Sundays. But I just wanted to let everybody know that he's not going to be able to stay with us for Sunday afternoon. So just a small change in plan. But other than that, everything's going to be just as normal. So we just thank the Lord. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. Very, very, should be very well-known scriptures to us. Verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. And we want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. She has it on the multimedia screen. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they shall have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Now, my wife might say something different about cold feet. But anyway, you get the concept. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And you see the thread here in this about not being alone, but being part of a group that's knit together. And so I want to talk about the unity of the faith this morning. We'll bow our hearts to him. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning in this service, we have a thankfulness in our hearts, Lord, because we know we are your subjects, Lord, and we are the trophies of your grace and beneficiaries of the resurrection. Lord, to know that we have quickening power that's alive within us, and Lord, that will raise us up from this earth someday and take us to be with you. We thank you, Lord, for these blessings, and Lord, as we come to you this morning, presenting that token in our hearts, presenting the blessings that you've imparted in our life, we just present those back to you this morning. to tell you that we love you, we appreciate you, and God, we ask that you would come this morning and just fulfill your desire in the midst of this congregation, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would edify, and God, get glory to yourself and cause your people to return back to you and worship and surrender back to you that which you deserve. Lord, that we hold not back, but to give to you everything that you desire. We ask, God, that you would find us as willing subjects this morning to surrender and let you have your way in our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. God is good. All the time. Amen. So I want to talk about the unity of the faith this morning. And so you realize, and I want to say that it seems to me like lately, it's been for a little while, but you know, there's a place that the Lord is taking his body, the believers. And I don't mean a physical place, but a condition. We just read about it. We'll talk about it throughout the service this morning, but you know, you and I have a destination. We're actually predestinated, but we have a destination where God is taking us. And so I think that the believer, being what we are, surrendered to the Lord and wanting to surrender to him in every way that we can, I think that it is should be very important to us that we have our eyes fixed upon where we're headed, that we're looking at what he has promised that we're going to arrive to at some point, and that would be the desire of our heart, that each day, as we move about doing our daily chores or whatever, what we hold in our heart is that revelation of what God says he's going to do in our lives and the end product that you and I are going to arrive at just before body change. Because remember, once we reach body change, the condition that we're in at that moment, that's the condition we spend eternity in as far as character is concerned. So we certainly want to reach that place between now and then where he wants us, and that should be our focus. And so for me, it just seems like it's always before me that when I'm looking to the Lord to tell me what he wants to come out and say and present to you, his sheep, that's always before me. And even more nowadays, I just want to keep placing before you that which he has said you are, right? And the only thing between you here and there and you fully being that is just your acceptance and the level of revelation you have in your heart concerning that. I just want to keep that before you and do everything I can to make sure that you understand what he says you are.
Amen.
So that you're not getting your cues and your guidance from the world and from other mindset and from the fallen flesh or anything like that, that somehow we could just cast all that to the side and everything that God has said that we are and that we are in him, by his grace, that we fully comprehend that, because only when we have that kind of revelation can we begin to flesh out exactly what he says it is, right? We're always short of that if we don't have that revelation in our heart. And then if a person says they have that revelation in their heart, but they're not living like that, they're not living, then there's something wrong, because if it's really in there, if you really believe it, your actions will declare you believe it.
Right.
I've said many times, if I said I was going to give out a $100 bill tomorrow at noon to everyone who comes through that door, if you really believe that and you wanted that $100 bill, you'd be here at noon tomorrow, and your actions would prove that you really believe it.
Right?
Right? These people that rise up and go, and they go, and sometimes you go in the gas station, you have to stand in line waiting for people to buy these tickets. And they'll buy some that long, shell out $35, $40 at a time for these lottery tickets.
Right.
Those people believe that maybe if by doing that, they might just win, see? And so, because if they didn't believe it, they wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
Right? I don't doubt that some of them might rake in some money sometime, but I'm not going that way, because my Bible says to work with my hands the thing that is good that I may have to give to him that needeth, right?
Right.
And I don't think that kind of thing is so good, so I don't and go that route. But anyway, I'd hate to have to stand and tell you that I won $1 million this week because I went and gambled. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that, because it's not the character of Christ. That's not, I don't know why I got over there, so let's get off of that, even though it's true. So we want to have focus where we're headed. That should be the thing that's before us constantly. Because we should have expectation. Brother Bam preached that sermon at the end, things that are to be. And you know, the scripture tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, he knows the thoughts concerning us, that they are good thoughts, right? Not evil, to bring us to an expected end. Well, he knows what that end is, but he wants you to know what it is so you can have high expectations of that. And so you know what to look for. You know what to be gauging your life as progress. That I want to get to that place where I'm, as we read here, full measure of the stature of Christ.
Right.
Okay, so this is where we're headed, to this perfect stature, this full measure of Jesus Christ. That means that I keep saying that, that if he's reached this height and we're the same, then we reach the same height. If he can do it, we can do it. If he's the Word made flesh, we're the Word made flesh. And I can show you with Brother Branham, this is exactly what he teaches. And this is what I was trying to get at in the last week or two. Is that this, that after you have repented of your sins and you've been quickened, that you have that new birth down inside you, that revelation, there's no difference between you and the Lord Jesus Christ once that's happened. Amen? Because then you become the Word made flesh. You're sinless, perfect before the eyes of God because his blood's made you that way. So you stand there as the Word made flesh to represent the Father who has sent you. And you're standing there just like he was because you're sinless like he was. And you're the Word in the flesh like he was. You have opposition like he did, right? That's what we're coming to realize. That we really realize that we are not just Miss Jesus Christ, but we are Jesus Christ through the Spirit of unity.
Right.
Okay? And so we're coming to this place, and in this place, we all will speak the same thing. Right? Wouldn't it be a very good body if we all told and had a different idea? So this is why you realize that a ministry had to come out in this day, and it had to speak in a manner that would straighten up all the things that are all confused. So it would actually have to be in direct opposition to all the denominations who've all got their different thoughts. They're not all speaking the same thing.
Yeah.
So if a ministry would come to this earth at the end time, and remember, how do we get there? How do we get to the spot we're talking about? He put into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. They're here for that perfecting till we come to that.
Right.
So if the church is not at that spot, we still got apostles, we still got prophets, we still got pastors, evangelists, teachers. Right? We still have them because we're coming to that place. And once we get to that place, he raptures us and we don't need apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher no more. Right? But until we get to that spot, he's got us here. And so that ministry that comes along would have to be in opposition to all the Babylon confusion,
yeah.
Right? Mystery Babylon, and bring us to the place where we all speak the same thing. So all of us would observe or not observe Christmas in the same way.
Right?
Right? So you go, wow. All of us would baptize the same way, right? All of us would know that the Godhead, serpent seed, we'd all would understand this. We would all speak the same thing, right? Because if we're not in unity,
right?
So this is where we're headed. Bring us to the place where we speak the same thing in unity. And when we reach that point, then we're ready to sit on the throne to rule with him. Because remember, he told the last days, to them that overcometh, well, I sent to sit, grant to sit with me in my throne, as I've overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. Apparently, this unity of the faith that he says that we'll come to, apparently that's needed. And that makes sense to you and I. We need to be in unity. We all need to be speaking the same thing, have the same spirit, same life, same attitudes and so forth. I know we're different people, but as a collective body, to be a collective body, we need to be this way. And so the way we get there is not by reading this book or reading that book or listening to this person or listening to that person. We get there by the ministry of the Word.
Amen.
By the gifted men that God has put in in the midst of his people. And remember, all of these things that are truths, Satan has his counterfeits.
Right.
And he's got a lot more counterfeits than there are in truth. But that doesn't negate the fact that there really are men in this earth that are God-called men to take this word and rightly divide it underneath the messenger of the day, to take that and meter it out to you as needed, as the Holy Spirit would tell them, to help you take these steps, moving in that direction to where you come as a body to that full stature. Right? Satan's got his counterfeits. And that's just how it is. And so some people come along and say, well, this guy's a shyster, so there can't be no such. And that's wrong. Whenever you see something that's not right, just remember, in order for there to be a fake dollar, there has to be a real dollar.
Right.
And so for there to be fake messages, there has to be a real message.
Yeah.
Right? Because what is error? It's truth perverted. You can't have error unless you first had truth.
Right.
How could a person believe in Satan and deny God?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's all, how can you say, well, I believe in darkness, but I don't believe in light? It's ignorance. Because
yeah.
Darkness is the absence of light. And Satan is the result of what you have whenever you step away from the word. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so, we want to come to that place, and God has ministry that will put us there. Now, when we see in the scriptures it talking about unity of the faith, it speaks of every joint supplying. It talks about every joint and every part of this body. Because you realize we are the body of Christ. And a body's made up of many members, right? Not one of us is the entire body, but all of us together with the rest of the bride around the world, we are the body of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So we're all this body, but this body has parts to it. And these parts are all connected to other parts. And there's joints that work between the two, where the joint is where one part interacts with the other part, right? A hinge on a door. That's a joint, right? So the way that joint works between one part and another is very important, right? It's got a special purpose, and it's a way of binding this part to that part so they work together properly, right? So this whole body is made up of all these parts, these joints and parts, and it's a great structure that is designed by the great engineer who has engineered it the way he wants it. So he knows how to take a certain person and set them right down. We'll say Sister Vicki sets her right here in that spot in this church. And so he makes a joint, a connection between her and this man standing here, which is her husband. So there's a certain type of joint between him and her called matrimony, right? And then he takes it and he'll set these other saints around, and we're all in this church, and each one of us are a member of this local body. Each one of us have a certain kind of connection to the other members of this local body, and each connection has its own arrangement. But when you step back and look at it, the whole thing is designed by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were out in Colorado, I took many pictures, obviously. But I took one particular picture that just stood out, and I want to bring it and put it up, maybe just as a backdrop or something like that. But it's one that really struck out with me. And I'll tell you what it is in just a moment. And maybe when I say what I'm going to say, you'll probably figure out what it is. But God puts you where he wants you. God puts you where he wants you, and only he knows just how, why he's got you where he has you, but you can rest assured that when he places you somewhere, part of his great big plan, that's exactly where you need to be, and his plan is profited by the fact that you're where he placed you. And so this picture that I took a picture of, it was a big old rock on the side of the highway, and right in the top of this rock was this little bitty tree sitting there all alone. And you look around and you see thousands, perhaps millions of trees maybe in one view from right there. Could look at this one tree off by himself and look off in the distance and perhaps see a million other trees. But here's this guy right here by himself, no fellowship,
No fellowship whatsoever with other trees. You understand what I'm saying? He's standing there by himself, and he might take a pity party. Go, boo-hoo. Why am I sitting right here in this little church? I ain't got no friends. I ain't got nobody to fellowship with, hardly. Right? He might take some little look at like that. But my point is that God put him there on top of that rock, or he wouldn't, for a purpose, he wouldn't be there. God wanted him there. And I can guarantee that many people have come by and they've looked at that, and that picture sticks in their mind for some reason, for whatever reason it is. Because you realize that God is the one that creates all the beauty, and all that beauty, if you went out there and took one tree out of it, that beauty's not complete because something's missing that should be there.
Right.
So that tree does not have the ability to pick up its roots and say, I'm not going to stay right here where I was planted. I'm going to go somewhere else. See? So my point is, I'm not saying that people shouldn't, that God doesn't ever raise them up and move them or something like that. But what I'm saying is that it's where God plants you. That's where you want to be.
Right.
And when he plants you somewhere, you are in an interaction with other members. And there's interactions between. So he speaks here in this scripture about the different joints, different parts. And it's talking about a great body that's all made up by his design. And each part has special characteristics. Each part is special and has its own characteristics. And not all characteristics are strong. Every one of us have weaknesses, right? But every one of us have strengths,
right?
Every one of us. You say, I don't have any strength. Yes, you do. You may not know what it is, but you have it. And I want to declare to you this morning that God knows what that strength is.
Right.
Now, if you look at an engineer who wants to build something like these great bridges you go across, you know, these engineer has to select materials. And he has to arrange the materials in such a way where it becomes strong and can weather all the things that come against it. Can weather time. Let's talk about a bridge, for instance, as I said. You can't take just plain steel and stick it out there and make a bridge out of it, because it'll start rusting right away, and within a few years you'll have major structural issues. So a good engineer is not going to take apart and stick it right out there and say, I want you to perform to the utmost for me, when he knows he's stuck you somewhere where your weakness is going to be revealed. A good engineer won't do that. And a good engineer will select the right material for the right place, or if he can't get a certain material who inherently has that quality, then he'll protect it like paint or something like that, or a zinc coating or something. He will protect it, so he will make sure that when he places that part right there where he wants it to be, that part will be able to withstand the elements of time and whatever elements that are against it in that environment. A good engineer will do that. He will not put a part in a place where his weaknesses are exposed.
Yeah.
Because if he does that, then the whole thing crashes.
Right.
So the whole entire body of Jesus Christ will crash if this brother's weaknesses right here become an issue. Mm-hmm. So God will arrange things, or this sister, anybody else's. God, in this body we're talking about that comes to a perfect expression, in that perfect expression, these each members, none of their weaknesses will be exposed, because if they did, it would not be a good engineer.
Right.
So he engineers out the weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He puts it together in such a way that it stands there as a trophy of his design, and it speaks of his character and his greatness. How that he's able to take these materials that in some ways are so weak, but he can arrange them in such a way that they become so strong that they represent him. And this is what a good engineer will do. So they take these parts that could be so weak and so wimpy, and he makes something strong out of it. But the key of how he takes a weak part and make some strong structure out of many weak parts, or many parts that are weak in certain ways but strong in others, is he'll take this part and he joins it with another part, and this part with another part, and he arranges everything, And it's, each part is connected to other members in such a way that that constraint that that part has with these other places, the way it's all arranged, the weakness of that part cannot be exposed. Right. And that weakness is hidden through the fact of how it's connected to others. So now when you look at the body of Christ and realize, you know what? Take your heart, for instance. Look how important your heart is.
Right?
Right? But if your heart was on the outside and exposed to the bacteria, how long would it last? Right?
Right.
So a good engineer won't put the heart on the outside. But he will put something else on the outside, your skin, such a way that can handle the environment, and that protects the weakness of the heart, but yet the heart's got such a vital role, a strong role. It can beat continually, 24-7, never stop for 60, 80, 100 years.
Yeah.
But he could never do that if he didn't have other members around it supporting his purpose.
Yeah.
You understand?
Right.
It's so important to belong to a body. It's important to belong to a local church and a body of believers and be part of that and be interactive with part of that and know that you're connected to that group and that they draw from you and you draw from them.
Amen.
It's important that you know that. I didn't bring these up here to spank anybody with, but I do want to demonstrate something. And I haven't, but we're going to try this. So let's get these three young people right here to come up here, or at least two of them anyway. I'll put them all to work if they want to come up here. Okay, so I want you to stand beside me. Stand where you're at. Come over here, brother. Face me. And the idea is, here's a part. And the idea, spread apart just a little bit. I want you to grab hold of that right there. I want you to grab hold of it right there. And the idea is that I'm a member in the body of this church. Okay? And I have a connection to these brothers through this, so we're all a part of members. And the purpose is they're sturdy, and I start wavering, and I'm going to start drifting from the church. And the idea for these brothers is to keep me from drifting, to support me in my weak time with strength. And so if we turn around like that, and I start drifting, hold it steady. Don't let it move. Look at that. That part's weak. Look at bending. It's not holding me. Mm-hmm. Right? Now hold it. Now I'm going to start drifting. Can I drift? Same part. Mm-hmm. What's different? Now it's being used in a manner where its strength is revealed, not its weakness.
Amen.
You see what I mean? Thank you, brother. I can do some more, but I don't want to waste a bunch of time on it. So you see the way this is arranged. God will take us and place us in this body in such a way, yeah, we all have weaknesses and we all know it. But the way he places us is we're strong. Our attributes that we have is to help through strength our brothers and sisters rather than our weaknesses. Okay, so you know if you get into a situation where weaknesses prevail in an assembly or in a family, whatever, you know, Satan's involved. See, because God's the great architect, he's the great designer, and he places us in certain ways where our strengths is what's being made known, not our weaknesses. So God would not place us in the plan of redemption where our failures, right? Because I can guarantee you that if God made it where our failures was in the place, could come into it, Satan would make sure they did.
Right.
So God's plan is such that our weaknesses cannot be revealed in his plan of redemption. So now when we come along and we're constantly worried about our weakness, constantly, I know I got problems. I know I'm not perfect. You know that's the devil trying to run you down that road.
That's right.
Right? Because when you take and you think on these things, whatsoever thing good and honest report and all that, when you think on these things and when you look at what the Word says you are, not what man says, not what your flesh says, not what the whole world says, But when you look at what God says about you and by faith accept that, then you're thinking about, praise God, I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. I'm not weak. I'm strong through Christ Jesus. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
In the right perspective, you understand that. So, each part has its strength. Each part has its weakness. So then it's connected to others in a certain way so that they work together. And so what it is God uses the strength in this sister and the strength in this brother and the strength in this sister and this brother and this brother and this brother. He takes all these strengths and he's able to connect them all together in such a way to their strengths prevail. And by their constraints to one another, their weaknesses are hidden. Think about it. Instead of when a brother or a sister has a problem and fails and falls or makes and is short, instead of us exposing that and trying to say, oh, look at how terrible that person is, we're called in God's great economy that by our gift of strength and this brother's gift of strength to hide the weaknesses of this person back here. And I don't mean cover up sin, but you understand what I'm saying. To support one another and those of us who are strong to help those that are weak, Scripture says. And we all know that today it might be this brother right here that's weak, but tomorrow it might be this one. So today he's strong, tomorrow, or today he's weak, but now tomorrow this guy's weak and he's the one that's strong.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because we all have our ups and downs. So we have relationships. So we each as an individual, God did not call us to stand alone as a Christian. We have him as our guide, but he also says he wants a body, and he did not call us to stand totally, completely alone out in the wilderness somewhere. But he called us to be part of a body that we might interact with each other. And so when these parts are connected together, as I was talking about a while ago, there's a joint where it connects together. And that joint constrains this part to that part. They and so you take, for instance, a door. Now, I'm not trying to get real technical, but anyway. So there's something called degrees of freedom in engineering. And so you take a part, and that part can be moved up and down like this, and like this. Right? That's X, Y, Z. But a part can also it can do this. It's not moving in X, Y, or Z, but it is rotating around a point. And it can rotate around this point, this point, and this point. So there's 6 degrees of freedom. It can either move, or it's 3, and the rotation is 3, right? So you take a door, and this door is connected to another part, another member, by a joint. And that joint constrains this to where it can't move this way because it's connected to the wall, right? It can't move like that because the joint has it connected to the wall, right? Can't move like this because it's connected to the wall, right? It can't rotate like this, right? Can't rotate like this, but it can rotate like this.
Yeah.
So a hinge takes a door, one part, connects it to another part, and through that joint, it constrains this door and says, you may operate, but only in 1 degree of freedom. And you might go, well, that's not fair. Why is that? Think about it. But by that connection, look what it does. Look what a door is good for. A door keeps you an enemy out. Right? One part submitting to that constraint that he had nothing to do with on how. That board didn't say, I want to be a door. Right? That board come and some great architect says you belong right here and you'll spend your life here doing this. He doesn't go, man, I'm tired. I've been able to move only in 1 degree of freedom for 20 years. My front door has been there 20 years like or somewhere like that. He don't go, well, I don't like it. I'm tired of this. Who's this? I'm so mistreated. No, God placed him there or the designer placed him there. and says you can't do nothing but one thing, and that's it. Every day you get up. Tomorrow you get up. It's all you can do. But if that door knows its place in God's economy, he gets up, says, praise God, today I get to move in one degree of freedom because my maker said so. And in his plan, I play a great big part.
Right?
So now, trying to focus upon these parts, these members in a church, who all have a connection to other members. And with that connection, as I've just said, there's a constraint. Right? There's a constraint. So, for instance, if Brother Jordan back here, he decided he's just going to leave the church and go off and just paint the town red. Now, if I have connected to him, right? Because I'm a member of this body. He's a member of this body. Sometimes when he's here because he has a home church. But I'm just, you understand. So I'm connected to him through this connection. And this connection provides some sort of constraint between he and I. Right? So in other words, something can't just pull us apart and say, you go this way and you go this way. Can't, because the great designer has made a connection between us. So when this brother would try to go off and do something bad, this brother says, because I'm tied to him. He can't run off without taking me with him.
Right.
And I'm not going, so he ain't going. Think about it. Right? So there's a constraint. But in order for this brother to draw the strength of something that will help him stay pat in the gospel when Satan tries to tempt him and pull him away, right? But he's got this other brother who he's connected to by a hinge or whatever it is. In order for him to draw the benefits of someone else who can influence you in such a way to keep you from going off in some direction, you, in order to have that benefit, you've got to submit to the constraint. Right? So that constraint can help you. It does help you, but that constraint can either, on some days, that constraint can say, yeah, amen, you can do what you're wanting to do. And other days, he says, no, you can't. Right? In order to get the benefit of having the blessings of the unity of the faith, the only way we can have that is to submit ourselves to the joints that are connected to the rest of the body that we are all part of to come into the unity of the faith together. Right? You have to be part of the body. You can't be alone. So, in order to have these benefits, you got to submit to the constraints that are there. So we, each one of us, have an influence. Each one of us have a responsibility to the others. Right? So that house has an influence on that door. Right? And that door, he wants to take off. And I can tell you, when you swing it open, centrifugal force makes it want to go out that way, but it can't. Because of this constraint, of this joint between these two parts that's got it held together. It can't fly off. It has to stay right there. And so this wall has an influence on that door. It influences and says, no, you can't do this, see? But at the same point, that door, he could look at it and say, now, I'm hanging here. I have nothing to support me except this guy over here. And if he ever let go of me, I'd just fall off in the floor. So not only is that wall an influence, but the door is looking to the wall and saying, I'm trusting that you'll never let me fall. I'm trusting that this special engineered constraint between you and I, that you'll always do your part, and by doing that, you'll always help me be what I need to be. You follow me? Now this is Christians. One Christian to another. So I have a responsibility to be a certain thing for Brother Daniel and for each one of you. And you have a certain responsibility to be a certain thing for me. Yeah. And there are constraints between us. And these constraints are all a little different. My constraints and responsibilities to my wife is a little bit different than it is for Brother Daniel or somebody else, right? Between me and him or me and her. So the constraints or the joints that connect us together are a little bit different, but they're all there by a great plan for God to work out the way he wants things to work out. And in all that, we, as this great structure of God, express him, the great architect. Because you can stand and look at a house and the way it's been built or whatever, and you can see the character of the builder or the designer. So you see how that works. So you see, we're all one body acting together to express Christ. Right?
Yeah.
We're all one body to express Christ. And through the influence and responsibilities we have to each other, we give strength to one another. We help one another, and sometimes we hinder when you want to do something that don't fit the body. Put it that way. I may have said this once before, but I did years ago. I went through the Dale Carnegie course. Work, had me do it at work. And if you ever want to get out of your comfort zone, just go take one of those. They'll have you on the floor barking like dogs and everything else if you ain't careful. Just to get you trained or whatever. I forgot everything I learned in there, if I did learn anything, I don't know. But anyway, every week, every person had to give a 2-minute speech or topic on something. Brother Tim's shaking his head. And one particular week, they always had the chairs all lined up, and they like to put you out of your comfort zone. So everybody's used to getting up, and chairs are all in a circle, and you can all, you can talk to everybody, look at everybody. This one particular week, we come in and the chairs were turned all kinds of ways. They're all over the place. And so everybody had to get up and give their talk, and I don't remember what the topic was, or what the theme was or whatever for that week. But my topic I chose to pick for that week, for some reason, I called it America's Drug Problem. And so I knew it was going to blindside them when I did it. But I got my point, and I got the award that week. If I remember correctly, I walked away with several awards through several weeks. I think I got about 4 or 5 different plaques. But that was the ministry coming out of me that got me those plaques. See, not that I'm a great speaker, but I picked things that were passionate to me, right? And so I picked this America's Drug Problem and had to deliver it in 2 minutes, and you had to go around the room and make eye contact with everybody in 2 minutes while you're telling this, and their chairs were all over the place. And so I said, America's got a drug problem. I said, what is a drug problem? You got the human body. It's made up with all kinds of members, all kinds of different parts, and each one of those parts play a positive part so that all of them together as a body can do great things, and look what it can accomplish. Right? And what is a drug problem? A drug problem is when you take another material and you shove into the body, and that material does not have common ground and common desire to help the body, but it tears down the body rather. So it's a material that doesn't belong in that society or in that. And so everybody's thinking, I'm talking about America, they got drug problem because everybody's taking drugs. And I ended it up with a punchline and said, why would we just let a people come into our borders who is vowed to destroy us? And I was talking about Islam, radical Islam. That's a drug problem. Why? Because here's America, a great country with members, and look what this country could do. But when you bring in a foreign substance, which you can take vitamins, and that's good for you, but a foreign subject that you, people that would come in here to destroy, that's ought not be. It's common sense for you and I. But we got people in Washington that don't understand that.
Right.
It's insanity, Brother Brown talked about.
Right.
See? So we're all a body, and each member working properly. But sometimes Satan will try to bring in a drug problem. Bring in something that doesn't belong. Either a physical person that comes in and disagree with the message, could be that, could be some experience in your life. Satan want to bring in something that will change and make it to where you're no longer following this perfect plan of God, being what God has called you to be, but something that begins to tell you, you don't need to be hinged to this wall no more. Right? This is what kind of things happen. So, We all have our influence to each other, our responsibility to each other. And since we are a great body that expresses Christ that he designed, and we each have constraints, there's things I will not do. Somebody could say, well, Brother Tony, do you drink wine? No, I don't. But the Bible says you can. The Bible says drink a little wine for your stomachs and off infirmities. Yeah, I know that. But it also says abstain from the appearance of evil. And I know that people around me would be just looking for a reason to try and condemn the ministry. See what I'm saying?
Right.
I have no desire to drink wine.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, even though I could take it for medicinal value, when you take NyQuil, you got alcohol.
Right.
See? You see what I'm saying? But I won't do that, right? So I am, why? Because I'm tied to that gospel, and I want to represent that gospel, so I am constrained to truth not to go out and do things contrary to the truth, right? Because it would be the wrong imagery. Nor do I have a desire to do that. But you understand. So these constraints that says you cannot do this and you cannot do that and you cannot do that. Remember what I said? In order to have the benefits of this relationship and the way we're all joined together, you have to have those constraints, because it's through those constraints of others that it hides your weakness by using their strength. And it hides their weaknesses by using your strength. So if you break connection from other members, from the other part of the body, what have you done? You've revealed your own weaknesses. Because now what God put there in your place to protect you and keep you, you've said no to. And that's the way it is no matter what, when a person tries to walk away from the Word of God. They're basically signing their own death warrant, I guess you could say, or their own just signing up for troubles. So we're part of this great body, and we're constrained to each other, and that makes us prisoners to Jesus Christ. Because I'm right where he wants me to be, right? And I get benefits of having fellowship and friendship and love and prayers, and at the same time, there's times I have things I have to do to help vice versa. It's a reciprocating thing between all of us. Okay, so I like the phrase where somebody says, and I've said this many times, but, you know, I have to get up and go to work today. Wrong attitude.
Right.
You get to. You get to get up and go to work. You get to go to church this morning. You get to. It's like I walk up to some of my guys at work sometime, and I walk up to them and say, well, I got something for them to do. And I walk up to them and I say, are you looking for an opportunity? What are they going to say? No, I don't want no opportunities. You know, but I say, you're looking for an opportunity? Well, sure. But it's a change in mindset to realize, you know, I don't have to. I get to do this. You say, like, well, Brother Tony, prayer requests come in at 10:30 at night. You need to pray for this or whatever. Oh, I have to pray. No, you get to. You get to do this. You get to come to church. You get to be a servant to your brothers and sisters. It's a privilege. It is not drudgery. I'm privileged to have the wife that I have. I'm privileged to get up and go to work to provide money so that she can spend it. I tell you, I may have told this once before. I used to get an actual physical paycheck. And my wife, I get paid twice a month. And so whenever the day had come around I'd get paid, you know, she'd need to go buy groceries and things, you know. So I would call her on the phone and tell her that, hey, you know, they brought my check to me, you can come and get it. So she and the children would get in the car and they'd come to Baldor. And then when she'd get to Baldor, she would call me. Hey, I'm out in the parking lot. You can bring your check out. And then she'd go cash it and go buy groceries and whatever. And so one day, whenever I called her, I didn't say anything like I normally would. I just said, the eagle has landed. That's all I told her. The eagle has landed. So she knew what that meant. I mean, the check has been given to me. So I went about work, you know, and a little bit later she pulls up in the parking lot and she did this because of what I said. She calls me on the phone, and when I said hello, she said, "The vultures have arrived." So, anyway, I'll probably get in trouble for telling that, but anyway, it's funny. But it's a privilege, right? It's a privilege to be able to serve my wife or to serve my family or serve my church family. It's not drudgery. Because once you have the revelation to realize that I am blessed to be part of this group. You're blessed to be a part of this group. And we have interactions between us, these joints that constrain us. And those are important points there, okay? These joints that supply in the way. But once you have the revelation that you have all this and you realize how this works, it's a blessing to be part of a body.
Amen?
Amen? Every church out there needs a revelation of who you are in your local body, and we obviously realize that we as a church, even though we might just be a small church, we fit somewhere in the grand scheme of God's entire bride of Christ, and when the rest of the bride is raptured, so will we, and they can't go without us, and we can't go without them. And so what makes us a prisoner to Jesus Christ, because we're submitting to the constraints of what he's placed us and where he's placed us, right? Makes us a prisoner to Jesus Christ, makes us a prisoner to each other, but it's really not prison. It's actually a protection. Because to be somewhere different than what God has placed us is certain death or certain heartache, if it's permissive will, certain heartache until you come back to perfect will. How many stories we know about people that went out and then eventually came back but with scars, right? We've seen that. So, it makes us a prisoner to Jesus Christ, prisoner to each other. Let me just comment just for a moment about these constraints, because it's relationships. Okay? We're all parts, members of a body, and we all connect to each other. And right there where one part connects with another is relationship. And all relationships need maintenance. All relationships, usually it's moving parts. They need oil, Holy Spirit, or they start squeaking. I have to get up and go to work today. Right? But when the right mindset's there, just happy. No complaining. You just get up and do what you're called to do. Right? You just do it. And you know you're blessed to be able to. You know, I've said it many times, there's something godly about a man. I don't care if he's the worst sinner in the world. That man gets up every day and goes in his truck and goes and provides a living for his family every day, just clockwork. There's something godly about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a pattern of something that God provided that's the right way for a man to act. You understand what I'm saying? So, these are relationships, and relationships all need attention. And I've been trying for a couple of weeks to preach on this, and I'm not going to today, but I don't know why the Lord hadn't let me do it. I mean, I feel like he wants somewhere in there, but it just ain't happened. But they all need attention, and if you neglect them, problems arise.
That's right.
Right? So every person who's interacting with another person, there's a joint between you and that person, and God put that there for a reason, and it needs attention. You take a big bridge with trusses, and they got these big beams, and they come down, and you'll look, there'll be these steel plates with, look like 100 of these round, look like bolts, and what they are is a rivets. And there's a big old steel plate, and it'll have all of them. If you go across one of these trestle-type bridges, you'll see this. And all them parts come together, and that's that joint. And that's the place where rust and corrosion and things like to get in there and begin to break down, because that's where the connection is that holds the strength of these parts all together, is that connection point. In my house, when I built trusses, they're called gusset plates, and that's where they join all those together. And you have to give special attention to that connection. The way they're joined, that connection joint has the strength above and beyond what each member has. Okay? So, your connections have to be as strong or stronger than each person. Your relationships. Because it makes no difference how strong I am and how strong Brother Daniel is. If the connection between he and I aren't as strong, the connection fails. Right? You see what I'm saying? So your interaction with other people, pay attention. Right? This whole body will fit together. This whole bride will express Jesus Christ. He knows how to put us all together. Our strengths are there. He's placed it there. And he's arranged it in such a way that our weaknesses are shielded by others around us and their strengths.
Yeah.
But if the connection between us and all the rest fail, then there's a total failure of the entire thing. Right? So you see why it's important. Two things here. It's important for each member to stay where they're put. And for each member, several things, but there's for each member to be committed to the constraints that are around them that they also draw benefits from. Satan wants you to think that because you have to submit to something that you can't go do what you want to all the time, that you have to submit, that that's drudgery and it's terrible, and that's really your blessing. Amen? Most of us, I've said this before, I would have destroyed myself before I turned 20 probably if God would have allowed me to do the things that I wanted to do as a sinner. Right? Somebody had to be there saying, no, you're not doing that. Might have been the form of a grandmother. I remember one time we had a neighbor, nice guy. He helped me a lot in learning electronics. He used to work for NASA, but he had a drinking problem. And he had cirrhosis of the liver. He loved to fish, and he wanted me to go fishing with him one time. And as a kid, I couldn't understand why it just seemed so torturous, so terrible, that my grandpa would not let me go fish with this guy in his boat on Kerr Lake. And him, an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I understand now why my grandpa would not let me go with that man. But at the time, in my juvenile mindset that wasn't mature yet, I thought it was wrong.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible. You see what I'm saying? Could it be, if you have something in your life right now, and you go, I don't understand why God is telling me I can't do this. I don't understand why Brother Tony says this is the way it ought to be, or my mom or my dad, they're telling me, no, 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 no. Could it be that your mind is still juvenile? Right? That they're trying to protect you? And that at some point, you'll realize what it was that they were trying to protect you from. So the importance is to stay where you belong, stay connected, submit yourself to these constraints, because it's through those you're protected and you're strengthened. Amen?
Amen.
And the last thing is that you watch that connection between those things. Watch over it and make sure attention is given to it. If it's a hinge, and you might go to my house today, I don't know, it's been a while since I greased the hinges. You might hear it squeak when I open the door. But it's a double-edged sword, because, you know, it's the front door. You're like, well, I'd like for it to squeak. So if somebody tried to come in at night, I'd hear it squeaking. Right? But the idea is that you oil it. And so, children, you're a part to a family. Your mom is another part. There's a relationship between you and your mom. You better watch it. Children. With your parents, brothers and sisters, joints, watch it. Because that's where Satan wants to try and corrode. So when we stay in our spot and stay where we are in this great structure, when Satan tries to come to a member and tries to take it away and do something with it, he cannot do that with that one, because that one is constrained to an entire body. And if he tries just to grab that one and take off with it, he's got the whole body he's having to deal with.
Amen.
But if you have a person and they're getting discouraged and decide, they, you know what, I just don't think I can live this and I'm just going to leave. They can't do it, because you've got all these other members in the church that are connected to them and through prayer and lift them up and support, and will not stand for Satan taking that sheep. Right? That's the way it should work. We should go to battle and fight to the nth degree, whatever it is, for every person in our in this body of believers, not just our local body, but the entire thing. Anybody that God has given personal association to you with in Christ or in your family or whatever it is, then you know that's a connection. If you got a relationship there with that person, that's a connection that you're constrained with somehow. That gives you influence in that life. Use it. Don't abuse it. Use it. Maintain it. And inject into that person the sturdiness of your position in the body so that they can benefit from that. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be flighty. Don't be of one opinion one day and another opinion another day or something like that. See, we have to be where people can draw strength from us. So he can't take one person because they're all they're connected to the whole body, and that whole body says, you're not going nowhere. There's too many constraints of that body to that person to let that happen. And so you find out that in God's great plan, we are our brother's keeper. Right? We really are. That's why we laugh when others laugh. We rejoice with him when we weep with him when they weep. Right? We all have one thing in common, everything in common, right, in the gospel. We are our brother's keeper. So, ending up by saying this. If we're in a position where God has called us, and by these constraints of the rest of the people in the body, we're protected, and our strength can show forth and contribute to the whole body, why would we want to go out from that? Why would we want to leave? Because leaving takes us right out and makes us vulnerable. Why would we want to leave and go out where our weaknesses can be exploited? Right? Because remember, if you get outside of Christ, that's exactly what Satan does. Exploit your weaknesses. Yep. But in Christ, he takes and hides those away through his grace and reveals only your strength. Now that's the Bible. New Testament, by faith, Abraham believed, doubted not, you know, had strong in faith, never said one thing about his laughing. Saying, Lord, how are you going to bring this to pass? Didn't say one thing about him going down into Egypt when he shouldn't have, going down into Gerar or whatever when he shouldn't have, lying and saying it's my sister when he was shielding what was really going on,
right,
to protect him. Never said one thing about it. Why? Because when you take the failures and you put it in Christ, all you can see is the strengths.
Amen.
You know what? I got many failures. I'm very familiar with them. But in God, I have none because of his grace. In God, you have none because of his grace. But you've got to believe it. You have to believe that that's what he's done for you. That he will hear your prayer. So why would we want to go out where our weaknesses are exploited? Why would we want to go out to a place where we can't help others and where others cannot draw strength from us? Why would we want to go out to a place where the benefits of unity of the faith can't be found? But you see, when he's talking about bringing us to the unity of the faith, there's a reason why. Because when he gets a people on this earth who finally speak the same thing and of one mind and one spirit like he had way back when before they fell, what can he do with that people? Will that structure of all those members that's all in one mind and one accord, will they present something to the world different than Christ? Or will people be able to look back and say, I can see the Creator in that people? And now here's the difference. I could send Brother Elijah down, I could send him somewhere and say, go tell so-and-so, you know, that this is my opinion, this is what I want done, or whatever. He could go do that, and he could stand there and say, you know, Brother Tony says, you know, this is what we need to do. He could stand there and relay the message and say what it is I want done And in a way, he's representing me, but he's not me. He's just representing me. And I could give him authority, but my point of saying this is that the limitation of man is not, with God doesn't have that limitation. So when he sends you, he actually goes in you. And he goes in you in such a way that whenever you're standing there, they look upon you expressing him. They are looking on him, not just a representative of him, but him, because he is one with them and tabernacled in them. That's the appearing of him. See, that's the difference. And so this end time people to come to the unity of the faith, they will represent him to such a degree that it is him, not as him, not just representing him, but she is him, said Brother Brown. All right? That's what we come to. We have to believe that. We have to begin to wrap our mind around that, our spiritual thinking. You remember that Jesus Christ is the Word, right? And we have to have revelation, right? You had to ask Brother Brennan, he quoted this, and Christ is a mystery. He said, so you'll say, Brother Brennan, what is the new birth? He said, the new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. So now I want to ask you something. When Brother Daniel, when you received a revelation of Jesus Christ, did he walk up to you in flesh and say, here I am, look at me? But in some way, in thinking, Brother Daniel was beholding him. I can see him. But it wasn't in flesh. It was in word. So when Christ came to Brother Daniel in revelation, it wasn't a physical form that came to him, but it was the revealing of the Son of Man. It was the revealing of Jesus Christ. So what struck Brother Daniel? A spiritual intellect. A spiritual understanding is what struck him. So now what he has is not reasoning or something like that Eve had in the garden, but a revelation where there was an understanding that came to Brother Daniel, or came to you, of who Christ is, that he's real, that he's alive, and he's... So what was it? It was the Word that came to, an enlightenment to the Word is the new birth. Because now you've met him.
Yeah.
You can't separate Christ and his Word. When his Word comes, he comes. Right? So now when he comes and he tabernacles in a people, and he sends that people out, and they are expressing that message of his Word, who is it that's being expressed? It's him. And if he sends us to this Laodicean age with the revelation of the seven seal all unfolded, everything, and he places that revelation of these divine truths of Christ that has come to us, right? That's our new birth. We're our birth to the Word today, just like it was in any day. That if that all comes to us and we go forth expressing that, we are Christ. No different than it was when he was here. We become that people expressing himself to the world. That people becomes the appearing of Christ, right?
Right.
To this world. And they won't accept it. They won't believe it. They won't receive it. But in the resurrection, when they're standing there and they have to turn and look at the judge. Who judges them? The Word. But what form did that Word come in? Right? Jesus told him, he said, Moses, you know, you say you believe in Moses, but the Word, see, the Word that said I'd come and do that Word is what's going to judge you. Right? So the Word, these people are going to turn and they're going to look, and when they see this Word, they're going to see the manifestation of what that Word form it was in their day that they rejected, and they're going to look upon you and I. Right? And it's not us judging, but it's the Word. We're commanded not to judge. Did you know that? We're commanded not to judge because all judgment's committed to the Son. All judgment is committed to the Word. The Word's going to do the judging. Interesting concept. Brother Branham, to indict this generation Before he could do that, there'd have to be a judge present, wouldn't there be? Well, if the judge is all, if all judgment is committed to the Son, and that's the word that went out from the Father is the Son, okay? Then when that white-wigged one came down, showing the judge was here. See what I mean? So we've changed dispensations, right? We've changed, something's happened, so now the judge is here, so judgment can happen. So that means the Son is present, right? That means the Son of Man, the Son of David on his way to throne. We're in that transition, and so now he can judge. But we cannot judge. It's the Word in us that judges. So if you ever find yourself in a spot when Jesus, you know, when they said, do you want us to call fire down from heaven? He said, you don't know what spirit you're in. Right? We're not called to do that. The time will come when the revelation in our heart does judge. But right now, we aren't to condemn and judge anybody, see? When I say judge, I don't mean determine, say, that's not right, you shouldn't do that. I'm not talking about that. That's what people do. They say, you know, you shouldn't do that. Well, you're not supposed to judge me. I'm not judging, I'm just telling you that's right. I'm giving you the word that's wrong according to scriptures. That's the word you're going to come, and it will judge you someday. And right now, it's speaking against you. That'll be your judge in that day. See, I'm not judging because I'm not calling judgment fire upon you or nothing. I'm just telling you, here's what the word says. Amen. So that's how it works. But God bless you. Amen. We want to be in the unity of faith, realizing that to be part of a body and be in this arrangement Christ has given us, it's a blessing. Amen. I believe that. And if we ever get to the spot where we don't think that, then there's a rabbit in the woodpile somewhere. Satan got in there, something like that. But my wife was saying she was having some troubles with blood pressure just a little bit this week. And I told her, I said, well, you know, you fight. You know, you fight for what God's given you, right? So I told her, I said, well, just start praying for another person who's got that problem. Right? You've heard that before. Fight. Fight. And the reason why is this. Remember Brother Branham, how Billy Paul was telling about that, how that Brother Branham, when he would pray for the children with crossed eyes, he always crossed his hands, right? And when he'd pull his hands apart, they'd go, his eyes would go straight. Remember him telling that testimony? Does anybody remember that? Okay. Because Brother Branham saw that with his own baby, them eyes suffering so much that the eyes would cross.
Right.
And that was like a spear in his heart to see his baby go through that. But that equipped that man that when he could go to foreign lands and they would bring babies and people up before him with crossed eyes, he was equipped to enter into that problem that that person had and pray a prayer of faith in a manner he might not could have done without it. Right?
Yeah.
So he had a touch for the feeling of the infirmity of that child and what was going on because he had experienced that with his own family, the feeling of the infirmity of that parent for that child. And so when you've got something you've had to battle, hey, you know somebody else is battling the same thing, you know how to go to prayer for them, right? You know how to go to war for them. So we just do that. And so this whole thing is to you probably get tired of hearing it, but it's a battle. It's a warfare. Our job when we get up every day is to upset Satan's program, right? Wreak havoc on him. I used to have a guy that I worked for, I've told you this before, and his job seemed to me like his job every day was to come in and make my day bad. Because he, you know, I have had good work record everywhere I went, but I had troubles with this guy. And it was just like even after I became his boss, he knew exactly what to do to make your day bad. It's like he got up every morning and he's like, I'm going to go and what, here, let's see, I'm going to do this, this, and then I'll do that, and you know, something else. And I'd be interviewing somebody for a job and he'd come into the room, because usually in an interview, take him around and show him the lab. I'd be interviewing somebody, he'd walk in and turn the lights out on us or slam a door or something like that. I mean, he was a renegade. But my point is that it's like he'd get up and let's see, now what can I do today? I'm going to make it wreak havoc. His day's going to be terrible because I'm going to do this, and this. Can you do that to the devil? Get up every morning and say, now this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to start talking to God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to start witnessing. I'm going to start talking to people. I'm going to make Satan so mad at me today. Wreak havoc on him. Amen? Be like that guy was to me. Amen. So, God bless you. Let's let the musicians come up. You love the Lord?
Amen.
How many feels like you have a better understanding about your position in the local body of believers and what that means? Amen. It's okay for you to call somebody and say, brother or sister, would you pray for me? You are constrained to that brother or that sister, you're constrained to this body, then you have a right. Right? You have a right to draw benefits through that constraint. Amen. So do it. Don't be afraid to look to your brothers and sisters. The scripture says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, be healed, right? Do that. It works. God's got a plan to, you can rid yourself of anything that Satan wants to put on you by surrendering to this overall plan of God. Amen. This local body. Let's bow our hearts together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service this morning, Lord, it's been so good to be in your house with your people. They have sat so attentively to the scriptures and to the words this morning that you have given, Lord. And I do believe you gave those to me this morning as I sat and penned them myself in this back room just before service this morning, Lord, just fresh from you that this is what you wanted me to share this morning. And I know there's great benefits in these truths that you sent our way. Lord, as it's a message you've given in this hour, and we as ministers, we go forth and just keep proclaiming that same voice, those same truths that you have revealed. Knowing, God, that it will inject into every life of the hearers strength that they need. We love you, Lord, because in your great plan, you've made provisions for each one of us. And Lord, it's a blessing to us to be a part of this body, to be members one of another. God, that we can enjoy one another and we can go to bat and go to prayer and go to war for one another. Such a blessing, Lord. Because we believe someday, Lord Jesus, that all of us together on some great day, instead of going from this place on Sunday afternoon and fellowshipping and some having to go different ways, Lord, someday we'll all gather together and there won't be anybody missing. Won't be someone that has to go to work. Won't be someone that has other things or maybe feeling bad or weather that's caused problems where they couldn't be in the house of God. Won't be none of that, Lord. But it'll be a great time when we all gather together and we can look across the table at one another and we can say, brother, we made it. Sister, we made it. By the grace of Almighty God, we're here. What a day that will be. And I ask God that as we move and as we try, I know this, we'll fight battles, Satan will come at us as individuals, as bodies. I just ask God that this scripture we read, be knit together and every joint supplying, Lord, that in this assembly, you would keep a spirit of unity, that in this assembly, Lord, these joints, these connections, these relationships, Lord, that we would stay attentive to them and Lord, that we would cherish the fact that we have brothers and sisters that we can love and that we can go to battle for. We ask God that you would just help us in these ways. Bless each one. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's lacking in any way, God, you see their heart. And I ask God that you supply that need. And I believe that through the ministry of your word this morning, you drive back things of doubt and unbelief. That God, at this moment, sitting in your presence, that they'd be able to commit it to you right now at this moment and say, God, I commit this to thy hands and ask you to give me victory, make me an overcomer. I believe you'll do it. Lord, we just ask that you be with us tonight, not today, and now as we go, that you would help us, protect us, keep us. Most of all, Lord, keep us in your word and give us revelation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand and sing worship just for a moment.